So today we are going to talk about a topic which hopefully interests us. We're going to talk about happiness. We're going to talk about happiness. How many of us here in this room think that we are happy? Can you raise your hands? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many of us here who think that we are not happy and we would like to be happy? Few more, yeah. So those people who know about how to be happy, tell the people who don't know about how to be happy, and then we can end the class. Just being cheeky. No, so being happy is a basic condition. Should I say condition, or should I say a basic quality of the soul? Huh? The Vedanta Sutra explains anandamayo bhyasat, that the soul by nature is pleasure seeking. So there's nothing wrong in trying to be happy, because that's the nature of the soul. What is soul? Anywhere you see consciousness, that is the soul. Doesn't mean only human body, any body. The nature of the soul is what? To be happy. Anandamayo bhyasa, to seek happiness at least. That is the nature of the soul. So how do you think that, you know, currently in the material world, in the world outside, how do you think people are trying to be happy? Some examples? Lot of money. Yes. Money is like honey. So lot of money, that's one. What else? Material goods. Material goods that money can buy. Very important, yes. So I get a new flashy car, a Ferrari, or a McLaren. Love. We'll come to that, but yes, that's important. So wealth. So I've got six things here that the Shastras explain. One is wealth. Second is beauty. You think people who are beautiful are happy? How many of us think that people who are beautiful are happy? Most of the magazines and the newspapers, they're all about beautiful people. Third is what? Fame. Magazines are also about famous people. You may not be beautiful, but you may be famous. Then what else? Strong people. Strength. What else? Knowledgeable people. Knowledgeable people. And the last is renounced people. Renounced people, not so much in this age, but these six things people think make them happy. So let's take wealth. How many of us here think that wealth will make me happy? Don't feel shy. Yeah, I mean, I think so. Also, I'm included. So the nature of wealth is we think that wealth will give us goods. That's what this lady here said, you know, that wealth would give us goods, and from those goods they will make us happy. So I remember when I was small, I wanted to get a cycle, which was something like 1,000, you know, and didn't have money. So I was thinking, when I get a cycle, first I'll get money, then I will get the cycle, and then I will be happy. What happened? I got some money, I got the cycle, and the cycle broke down. So this is the nature. So what's the nature of goods? They are temporary. So wealth, what is the problem with the most wealthy people? They are afraid of losing the wealth. So it's very difficult for rich people to have good friends. If you see this, I'm making this statement, but if you see this, it's very difficult for rich people to have good friends. Why? Because they're suspicious of everybody else. That he will take my money away, she will take my money away. It is very, very difficult if you are rich to have very close and good friends. Very difficult. You may have, that's good, but it's difficult. And problem with wealth, as we said, is with time it is taken away. So there's a nice and funny story by Narada Muni. Narada Muni loves to create devotees. This one person who was young, like, you know, 12, 13 year old boy. So Narada Muni comes to him, preaches to him, and he says, please give up everything and come and follow me. Let us, you know, chant. No, I have to first become wealthy. I have to get married. So he said, okay, no problem. So Narada Muni came by the time this person was married. So Narada Muni said, now you are married. You said you wanted to wait till you get wealthy and you're married. Now you're wealthy, you're married. He said, but I don't have any children. Huh? I don't have any children. So no problem, I will come with you, but let me have some children. So then he had some children. After that, again Narad Muni came. He said, you know, now you come. You know, you have got money. You are married. You have children. Now you come. He says, no. But these children, you know, they have not grown up. So Narad Muni goes back, comes back again. And now the children are grown up. He says, see, your children are also grown up. They can take care of your wife, you know, so now come. So he says, no, you know, the children are not married. You know, and I, it's okay. So Narad Muni goes back, then comes back. Then the children get married. He says, now your children are married. No, but you know, they have no children. So again he goes back, then he comes back, they have children now. So now he says, now you're a grandfather. Now you come with me. So then Narad Muni says, yes, I will come with you. This boy says, I will come with you, but these children are foolish. I have got so much wealth and they will not take care. So let me just hide this wealth properly. So next time Narad Muni comes, he doesn't see the person. So he asks the children, he says, where is your father? Or where is your grandfather? I don't know, they say. And then he hears a dog barking outside. And Narad Muni understands all languages. So he understands that his dog is the same soul as the... So he's guarding, you know, he's guarding this house. He's guarding his house. So then Narad Muni goes to the dog body. He says, see, now you're a dog. Now you come. No, they are foolish. Again, you know, he says, I have to guard this place. You know, otherwise people will steal my wealth. So then Narad Muni says, okay, then at least, you know, then comes back again and again the dog is gone. So he asks the children, he says, where is the dog? He says, we don't know. And then there is a snake somewhere in the fields nearby. And the snake is saying, hello Narad Muni, how are you? He says, what happened? Why did you become a snake? He says, now I'm guarding this, you know, I, you know, have a treasure which I buried because these fools don't know how to guard my wealth. So I'm guarding this, you know, snake on, you know, he's guarding. So then Narad Muni says, this is too much. He goes to the children and the grandchildren. He says, see, there is a snake in the... You know, in your fields, it's dangerous. Go and kill it. And they don't understand this. The snake is their own, you know, grandfather or you know whatever, father. And they kill the snake. And then Narad Muni was standing there. He said, "Now you understand. Now come with me." So this is the nature of wealth. Once you have wealth, you're paranoid about losing wealth. One of the symptoms. And of course, second is friends, beauty. So beauty. We think beauty is nice. Yeah. How many of us think beautiful people are happy? Problem is, beauty, does it last forever? So this is the thing, that you know, you're very beautiful one day and then it doesn't last forever. Then fame, famous people. So fame we think is very nice, right? Beauty and fame. Fame also, the problem is with time fame leaves us. And the worst thing about famous people is they are afraid of becoming infamous. They do all the right things and one wrong thing and people will immediately... Think of the famous people, right? They do all the right things and one wrong thing that they do, it's all in newspapers. This person did this. So fame is nice, but you can become infamous like this. In the Gita, Krishna explains, for a famous person, the greatest pain is to become infamous. And it is very, very easy, in Kali Yuga especially. Strength. How many of us have strength like Muhammad Ali? Muhammad Ali used to be the greatest boxers. What happened in the end? Today he can't even, of course we are sad about this. I'm not happy saying this. But he can't even remember at times his own name. He's got Alzheimer's now. So strength. Then knowledge. Problem with knowledge is you will always have somebody else who is more knowledgeable than you. Always. And there'll be other knowledgeable people who will disagree with you. For example, if you're a knowledgeable scientist and you're thinking of the Big Bang, then there'll be somebody else who'll say Big Bang is wrong. So one is you'll always have somebody more knowledgeable than you. And second is there'll be always people who will disagree with you. So knowledge also, you know, and ultimately with time, knowledge is taken away. So in all these things, what is common? With time, all of these leave us. And even when we have them, they don't bring us happiness. So, I will make a statement in few minutes. I will make a statement, a sweeping statement, you know, how to get happiness. But before that, you know, I'll just quickly mention the three modes of material nature, right? So, what are the three modes of material nature? Anybody? Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So what is Tamas? Tamas is mode of passion. So sorry, ignorance. Thank you. In ignorance, a person finds happiness in complaining. In ignorance, a person finds happiness in complaining. And that complaint may be silly, like, you know, how come this person's sari is better than, better wore, or dhoti, you know, is better than mine. Constantly complaining. This person is wrong, that person is wrong. Constantly doing nothing about it. This complaining person doesn't have solutions to anything. Constantly complaining. And finds happiness in complaining. In passion, a person is constantly comparing. I have got a car, and that person has got a better car, so I want to get this better car. So do you think you can be happy by constantly complaining and constantly comparing? How many of us think that we'll be happy by comparing constantly or complaining constantly? Sometimes it feels good, isn't it? Sometimes it feels good. About moaning. But what I'm saying is, can we be always happy by constantly complaining and constantly comparing? Very difficult, isn't it? So, then, you know, we're all here, you know, in a religious place. So what is religion? According to the Latin word, you know, is to bind our essence, basically, to our own essence. So what is within us? So religion is not outside. It's who we are. And the soul is a part and parcel of the divine. So this is the thing. So who we are is the soul. Religion means to discover our own natural state. So then I'm going to make a sweeping statement. To get happiness, one has to give happiness. Hear this again. To get happiness, one has to give happiness. I'll repeat this the third time. To get happiness, one should give. I'll give you a practical example. Let's say you are at home, you have a son or a daughter, you know, a child basically, and you are pretty strong and you can eat hundreds of ice creams a day, for example. You are home, it is a bank holiday weekend, so you can't go and buy ice creams, and there is only one ice cream remaining, one cone ice cream remaining at home. And there is a child at home, maybe your child or, you know, somebody that you're taking care of, and the child wants that ice cream. So I'll repeat this. You are at home, it is a bank holiday weekend, so you can't go and buy a lot of ice cream. You are young and strong, you can eat a lot of ice creams. And the choice that you have is that, should I eat this ice cream, or should I give this to this one child who also likes ice creams? What would you do? Give it to the child, yeah? Most of us would, I hope. Or if you're children, of course, you'll not give it to the child, but, you know, I'm just saying. Yeah. Now, by giving that ice cream to that child, what have you done? And the child is happy, of course, you know, because the child likes ice creams. What have you done? Yeah. And in return, what do you get? There is nothing religious about this. There is nothing religious about this. This is pure fact that in that time, if you have given that ice cream to that child, the child's happiness gives you immense happiness, more than you eating the ice cream yourself. Please understand, I did say that you love ice creams and you've eaten thousands of ice creams and you have the capacity, you're not diabetic, so you can eat, you know, hundreds of ice creams, for example. But because you give to that child, what happens? You gain happiness. This is the Vedic system. This is the Vedic system. Simple giving. Krishna, when he was a small boy, had his birthday. Now, what do young boys like to do? Young children like to do? They like to go out and play. That day, what was happening? Krishna was asked to stay at home on his birthday. And it was not that, I mean, since I was small, I remember my birthdays, all I was thinking about is how many gifts I'm going to get. When I was small, even now I think, you know, most birthdays are about getting gifts, right? What did this person give me? That person didn't give me this. But Krishna and Balaram were asked to stay at home. And then Nanda Baba had prepared lots of charity to give. Nanda Baba is Krishna's father. So what was the charity? Lots of milk-giving cows adorned with jewels, gold, to be given to people who are coming to wish Krishna, you know, on his birthday. Huh? Mountains of grains, Krishna was going to give away to charity. To people who come, you know, as charity. Huh? So the Vedic system is what? Vedic system is to give. It is not that Krishna was unhappy staying at home and giving. From the Shastra we see Krishna was happy staying at home, not going out to play, and giving charity. Nanda Baba was giving so much charity, it is said at one time that there was something like, and my son, you know, I've got the figure from the Bhagavatam, it was, how many cows was it? This was 2 million milk-giving cows. It's impossible for us to understand. You know? Like, milk-giving cows, that to 2 million? You know, this is what is there in the Shastra. Plated with gold jewels, like this. So Krishna is giving so much charity. I'll say one thing, that if we have expectation of people, if we have expectation of people, this is another statement I'm making. I can guarantee you that at some point in time, we will be unhappy because that expectation is not met. I repeat, if you have expectation of people, it is guaranteed that at some point of time you will be unhappy because that expectation will not be met by that person, for sure. But what is under your control is giving. What is under your control is giving. Now, one of the questions that may come up, you are talking about Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba was a king. He had so many cows and gold to give. What do I have to give? I am in this Kali Yuga, 5,000 years after Krishna. I am not a king. Most of us, anybody here who's a king? Or a you know, cowherd king like this? No? Anybody has a son who is God? So, I am not a king. I don't have a son who is God. You know, what have I to give? So this question can be again answered from the Shastra. What did Sudama have? What did Sudama have? Sudama, Krishna's friend, everybody knows the pastime. What did Sudama have? Sudama had nothing. Even he had to borrow chipped rice. Chipped rice is the, if you go to India, you'll see chipped rice, anybody can get chipped rice. Chipped rice is not very expensive. It's not that, oh, you have to pay, you know, lots of money for, you know, 2 handfuls of chipped rice. That's what he had. That's all he had. And then what did he do, Sudama? His wife said, go to Krishna and give this chipped rice and ask for something. Sudama was reluctant. No. And then in the end, of course, seeing the situation, he thought, okay, I will go to Krishna. Now he enters Krishna's palace. He sees, he's like, oh, my friend has become, you know, amazing. You know, what do I do? Because Krishna, and when they were children in the Gurukul, they were the same. You know, there was no... Sudama was just a student, Krishna was just a student. So what happened? Sudama goes there and he's not even giving the chipped rice to the Lord. He's hiding the chipped rice from the Lord. And the Lord makes him seat, Lord washes his feet, and Sudama forgets to give Krishna anything. Then Krishna says, you must have got something for me, my friend. You would not come empty handed. See, this is the thing. When you go to a friend's place, get something. It must not be valuable, anything that small thing. If you come to the temple, you can go to the bakery, get a sweet, like this, simple thing. So Krishna said, you must not have come empty-handed. What is in that pouch? And then forcefully Krishna takes away the chipped rice. And what happens? Krishna eats one mouthful, eats two, and then Mother Rukmini, Rukmini Devi, has to stop, aray, you know. I cannot give, you know, because Mother Rukmini is Devi, is also Lakshmi Devi. She's thinking, oh, my Lord, you know, what will I have to give this person? So much love that the Lord has. And Sudama is crying, the Lord is crying. Of what? Giving what? Jewels? Gold? Some chipped rice, which is nothing. Poha in Hindi. Some poha. That was not cooked. Just in his pouch. So it is not that one has to have everything. Another example, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's name is what? Lord Krishna's name is Hari, one who takes away. And Lord Shiva is what? Har, who gives away. Har Har Mahadev. He gives away everything. So one time, you know, I heard this story when I was small. One time, Lord Shiva, people said, "Oh, you build a house for yourself." So Lord Shiva said, "Okay, I build a house for myself." Devi is his wife. Devi is everything. Devi is amazing. She is everything. Material nature. So they built a house. And Lord Shiva, again being charitable, what happened? That day he was just giving away everything. Giving away. On the day of the house vastu, is it called? You know, the house warming. Lord Shiva was giving away. Everything he was giving. And in the end, you know, one Brahmana comes and Lord Shiva has nothing to give. What does he do? He gives the house. And again, Lord Shiva has nothing. So this is Vedic example. Give. Constantly give. Then another example, Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is an example. So we talked about Sudama, then we talked about Lord Shiva. But Bali, he had captured even the higher planets. And then when the Lord Vamana asked him 3 steps of land, he said, "Of course I will give." So by 2 steps, Lord Vamana covered everything. We know this story, he covered everything. And the 3rd step, he said, "Where do I keep this step? You said 3 steps. It is not that Bali was resentful. If you read the Shastra, it is not that Bali was resentful. Bali said, "My Lord," Garuda came and he was bound by the ropes of Varuna. He was bound like a criminal, a common criminal. And what does he say? "Lord, this is wonderful." You know, in short, he says, "Wonderful. Thank you. Perfect." The Lord says, "Wonderful." You know, so Bali says, "Wonderful." And then he says, "My dear Lord, please put the 3rd step on my head because I have not surrendered myself yet fully." So giving. And Bali was advised by his guru even, Shukracharya, don't give. You know, he'll take away everything. Bali still gave. This is Vedic example, giving. Bali was happy in giving. Vidurji. Vidura didn't have much. He was born as a Dasiputra. He was always giving the right advice. Vidura was always giving right advice to Dhritarashtra, to, you know, Duryodhan in the battle. And Krishna, and Duryodhan prepared so much prasad, you know, so much food for Krishna. Bhoga, not prasad. And Krishna comes to visit. Krishna goes to Duryodhan. Duryodhan says, "Please have prasad, food here." Krishna says, "No, you know, thank you." Krishna leaves and he goes to the house of Vidur. And what does Vidur have to offer? Banana peels, it is said. Vidura and his wife are so happy that instead of giving, they don't have nothing in their home. All they have is a banana. And even that, it is said that they gave the peel to Krishna. They gave the peel to Krishna and banana was left. And Krishna even ate the peel so nicely. So this is giving. It is not that we have to be a super rich to give. The first example that we gave was what? Ice cream example. The second example we gave was what? Chipped rice. Which is nothing. At least you can offer water. Vidura's home, Vidura offered water. You know, at least you can offer water. Giving. Then Draupadi is another example from the Shastra. So Draupadi, again, you know, she had a patra called Akshay Patra, a vessel, you know, where until she ate, you know, that vessel would keep giving bhoga, you know, keep giving prasad like this, keep giving food. And Draupadi, what happened is Duryodhan, you know, had Durvasmuni come to him, and Durvasmuni, you know, had his lots of followers, and Durvasmuni's followers were all, you know, saying, "Okay, we want prasad." So he sent them somehow to the Pandavas, knowing that the Pandavas would not be able to feed them. They're living in the forest. Pandavas were living in the forest. They will not be able to feed, and therefore Durvasmuni will get angry on them. So all the followers of Durvasmuni came, and all that Yudhishthir said is, "Please go and have a bath," because by this time they had already eaten. And Akshayapatra meant that it would not give any more food because Draupadi had already eaten. And then comes Krishna there. And Draupadi is in, you know, and Pandavas are thinking, how do we feed these Brahmanas? And Krishna sees one grain of rice. Krishna eats that grain of rice. And Krishna is satisfied. Krishna is the Lord. If he is satisfied, all the sadhus are satisfied. And they run away because they are feeling so overfull, knowing that the Pandavas would have a feast ready for them. So giving. Again, giving. And then we've got, you know, this temple. I mean, I was just thinking, this temple is an example of giving. If you see, the pujari is here. Most of them are working outside. But 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, they are here. Maybe even for that 4 o'clock, they must be here. I don't know, 2:30, they're up. They're serving the deities so that everybody who comes get nice darshan. The whole day there is 6 offerings, aartis. That's just the pujari department. Then there was the person here arranging the mic. He didn't have to arrange the mic for me. He's giving his time as service. You go to the kitchen here in the temple. They're cooking. Why are they cooking? They're cooking for all of us. Why? Because they want to give that service to all of us. So this is the thing. This temple is a manifestation, and it's a Vedic manifestation. It's not that we're unique, but all we are saying is a manifestation of the attitude of giving for loving Krishna. The whole temple is just running on this attitude of giving, giving, giving. If you see anywhere, this Prabhuji who's standing here, he has no reason to. He's standing here to take care of the crowd. He has no reason to. But he's giving his time as seva, so that all of us can take nice darshan properly. At the bookstall, everywhere if you see, it's all giving. The whole temple is all about giving. And in giving, what did I say? What were the two statements? In giving happiness, we receive happiness. And if we have expectations, it's guaranteed. It is guaranteed. What is in our control? Our control is to give. What others do, is it in our control? How you behave, Prabhu, is it my control? No way. Out of love, that's another thing. Love is a binding force. Out of love, somebody may do something. But, you know, you have no control over others. You have control over what you give. So I think I'll stop the lecture here for questions and answers. Because I've spoken too much. Did I speak too fast? A little bit? So anybody has any questions or comments?